Off the Ball.
GAA.
I can't get over Donegal at the moment. I look forward to watching them. Just the pace, the energy, their style of play, their bravery. But it's just so positive.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
OTB GAA. The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to the latest episode of Football Pod. I've got Paddy Andrews with me. Hey, Paddy.
Evening, Tommy. We're down a man.
We're down a man. It's just me and you this week, buddy. No James O'Donoghue. He's over in Dubrovnik with a big Killarney crew for a wedding of good friends of himself and Christina's. Big Billy Maguire is there too. Do you remember Billy looking after us?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of photos across different social media channels. It looks like a right good time. But listen, we give it the week off. Tommy B, you will hold forth. It's not the first time.
Exactly. They were gone there for the week, so we might get James back for our members episode later this week. So we'll hold fire for his keen insights on the weekend's football. I'm sure he saw it all. Apparently there was a big screen.
He was watching GAA go religiously at that wedding.
I heard there was a big screen at the wedding, so I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say. Okay, Paddy, this was a fairly significant weekend. On one hand, we got some exceptional results that probably skewed the thoughts of a lot of people. On the other hand, the attendances across the country were again a little bit low. And the conversation is definitely circling around about this structure that we have at the minute. Whether or not it's working.
We were both travelling the country at some of these games too, and they weren't great, the ones we were at. A quick review of the weekend. Not a great weekend for the contenders, I would say. Obviously, with Donegal's surprise result in Porky Rin on Saturday, and then Derry have continued their implosion yesterday at home to Armagh. And there are two teams who obviously there's been a lot of talk about both these teams so far in the championship. A bad day at the office, spoke to those guys. Attendances, I was in Breffley Park on Saturday night, beautiful weather. And then I was in Navan yesterday, watching your boys, Tommy. Another beautiful day. But look, it was bank holiday weekend, weather was good. I'm sure people were doing lots of things. There's so many games. One of the most interesting things I see, we were doing the Mayo Roscommon game. It's the third time they've played this year, and that was the lowest attendance. The National League game and the Connacht Championship game really doubled the attendance that was in the Hyde on Saturday, which was a surprise for what was such a big game for Roscommon in the context of their season. So the structure is not great. You know, we had this conversation last year, Tommy, where this is a slow burner. This is a slow burner. Even the atmosphere of the people who are at the games, it's just, there's no real jeopardy. I was in Navan yesterday. It was great to be in Navan. I hadn't been there in a number of years for a game. Bumped into some Mead football royalty, which was great.
Oh, yeah?
Who'd
you bump into?
Sean Boylan, Jerry McEntee, Seamus Kenny, Conor O'Donoghue. Big listeners of the pod, I'm sure. But just great to be there. Beautiful weather, as I said. There was a bit of decent Mead crowd there. There wasn't a big Kerry crowd there at all. In the hope of some sort of performance in that game, was just it wasn't a good game at all. I'm sure we'll talk about it at length, but the attendance is an issue because people, there's so many games, there's no real jeopardy in them still. Like Derry, for example, have had three massive defeats and they're still in this thing. They're still in this thing. And I think that the crowd sense that, maybe the players, maybe that seeps down onto the pitch as well. But you remember this time last season, it was the third group game, essentially, where it's knockout from now on. You know, you have Armagh playing Galway to see who tops that group. You'll have Meath and Monaghan, which is pretty much straight knockout. The same Donegal and Clare, Donegal top the group. Cork and Tyrone is a decent game. So there are decent games to come in the final round of matches, but it's taken us 6 weeks, really, over the last 6 weeks to get there.
Yeah, I know. It's frustrating because I think back when this was voted in, there's an element of this that I think part of the reason it was voted in was that it wasn't as radical as the other option on the table, which is proposed to be. I just hope that people don't forget that there could be a better structure, that we don't have to go back to what it was, that there could be a good structure, but it just doesn't feel right yet. You know, there's...
I like the sound of it, Tommy, at the start, but for example of, for maybe the weaker counties, that they get more games in the championship, and you get these games in provincial venues. So just for example, recency bias, yesterday in Navan was the ideal reason why I was on board with this, that for me, the team has been struggling, that they get exposure to playing top level games, they get one of the big dogs in Kerry coming to town. That should be everything that's good about this proposal on paper. Instead of losing to Dublin in the Leinster semi-final 2 months ago, their season's over essentially, they still have three games in the groups, possibly four if they can beat Monaghan, and they get a marquee game with Port Tailteann. And I was there yesterday and it was a terrible match. Meath got hammered. I struggled to see any benefit for the Meath players, and Colm O'Rourke, very resigned figure after the game, and even the Meath supporters, some of whom was talking to, a resignation before the match even started. So there was no jeopardy in the game. There was no buzz with the crowd there, you know, because Meath weren't going that well. You know, on paper 2 years ago, this comes in, you go, Kerry and Navan on a Saturday night, there'd be 20,000 there. That hasn't transpired.
No.
That's happened. There's been numerous, like Breffni Park with Cavan and the Dubs on Saturday night as well. Same story. No sense of jeopardy in the game. Do Cavan take any benefit from getting a hiding like that? And it kind of shows, it always shows in the crowd. People vote with their feet. If they don't fancy this, they won't go. And that's, in most cases, that's what's happening. With the exception of, I was at Donegal last weekend for Donegal Tyrone, which was a full house, which was brilliant, which was class, but we're just not seeing anywhere near enough of that so far in this championship.
Yeah, I'd say in the off-season, we'd be going back to this and looking at it again. But
I think so.
In saying that, next weekend, every game has something on the line. So it is going to be fun.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. 2 weeks. You're right. Next weekend, we have the Tailteann Cup preliminary quarterfinals. In 2 weeks' time, we have round three of the All-Ireland Series. Let's just rattle through the results before we get to the game, really, of the weekend in a lot of ways. Monaghan 2-10, Louth 2-10. This was an interesting game. We'll come back to this in Clonus. This had actually, there was actually 11,300 of this. It was a decent tens of this one. Then we had Westmeath falling just short to Galway. 11 points to Galway's 112. Shane Walsh scored a goal on the intercept. He intercepted a Ray Cannellan pass. Did you see this goal? A lovely little dummy before he...
Is he panicking here? Is he hesitating?
Nah.
Is he taking too much out of it? But a class finish. How many of these breakaway goals are we seeing this season?
That's ridiculous.
It's unbelievable.
We must clock them up, how many there were, because there was an awful amount of them at the weekend.
I could have had 10 themselves yesterday. But
they could have had 7, yeah. You mentioned that Meath game, 9 points to Kerry's 218. It was definitely a late flurry from Kerry, but Meath never really got in touch. Their shooting in the first half really let them down. The setup with, I think, 12, maybe, no, it was 10 recognised defenders. 10 recognised defenders, like so. Yeah. Tyrone 315, Clare 10. 10 minutes going in this game, Clare could have brought it back to a one-score game, but Tyrone powered away in the final quarter. A bit of a trend from the weekend. And then on Saturday, we had Cavan 13 points, Dublin 5-17. I think the goal straight after halftime from Kenny McGuinness, who impressed, I want to ask you about him a little later, summed it up. That kind of blew Cavan away. Yeah, and then I was in the Hyde for Roscommon, 1-15, Mayo 2-14. A funny game, which we'll discuss.
That was great. It was tight. Like, it just, it was, you never felt they were going to lose it. Even though Roscommon kind of keeping in touch in the first half. Poor enough game, I thought, I have to say, for both teams. Yeah. But look, Mayo, 2-2, they're happy enough. They play the Dubs in a couple of weeks.
Definitely. Again, it goes down to the last game. But Mayo impressed me on how they attacked Conor Carroll's kickout.
Yes, that was very good. Which they are normally decent at, to be fair to them.
Yeah, the kickout obviously isn't just down to the goalkeeper. You know, Carroll had one brilliant kickout that led to a Kieran Lennon score. He had another brilliant kickout over the press that nearly led to another score, went out over the end line. But Mayo just ate them alive in the middle third and on the break. So might chat about that a little later. And then the game of Saturday, Cork 3-9. James O'Donoghue's Cork 3-9. Donegal 16 points.
A surprise. Donegal, hectic schedule. And like I said, I was really impressed with them the week before. They're 20 points against Tyrone. They were full value for that. Really, really impressive. McGuinness, to be fair to him, he teed it up. It is a tough game, particularly going down the park you're in. And just the style of play, Cork have a very similar style to Donegal. If those runners from deep, they'll try and hit you on the counter-attack. The goals were the killer, obviously, as they tend to be. You know, Matty Taylor's got another breakaway goal.
Another breakaway goal. Ryan McHugh.
Every game you're going to see these. But just the style of play Cork have and the confidence they have, obviously, their big game was to go to Ennis and win that first match against Clare. It took pressure off John Cleary and those Cork players that they were through. Not as much as things a free hit in Championship. Well, maybe there is under their structure. But there was a pressure off them having beaten Clare.
For sure.
For them to go and win that game, well set up. They kind of catch Donegal with the break. They out Donegal. And then they hang on to the end. I don't think it was an unbelievably bad performance by Donegal. They were just caught a little bit. And that group is very interesting. That is one of the more interesting ones because Donegal, they could still top this. They will beat Clare. I would say they'll beat Clare. And then Cork have a really tough game against Tyrone, got back on the horse yesterday at Healy Park. That's in a neutral venue. Massive opportunity for Cork to top that group, go straight into the quarters and get a favourable draw. That would be unbelievable progress and set potentially Cork up to be in the All-Ireland semi-final if the draw plays ball for them. That's the opportunity there for them now with that win over Donegal. But I wouldn't like to gamble on who's going to top that group just yet. I think that Cork-Tyrone game is very hard to call.
For sure.
But a brilliant win for them. Brilliant win for Cork. And for Donegal, the first semblance of a setback this season so far. So.
You mentioned the groups there. I'll just give you the group tables there. So you mentioned how that game could go down to the wire that last round there. So Cork 4 points, Tyrone 2 points, Donegal 2 points, Clare on 0 points. Clare will need to beat Donegal to have a chance of making third spot. But if Donegal win and Tyrone win, all three will be on 4 points. And James caught me out with this last week.
If you have your homework done this week, do you?
I do, Paddy. If all three are on the same amount of points, it'll go down to score difference. And at the minute, it's Cork plus four, it's Tyrone plus seven, and it's Donegal plus five. So it's tight. So it
Donegal has that. You fancy Donegal to win rather convincingly against Clare. No disrespect to Clare, but they seem to be the struggling team in that group, as we kind of teed up that they might be.
Yeah, well, Clare definitely have been competitive, but you're right. Donegal will back themselves in that one. And then it's all down to the Tyrone and Cork games. So those games are going to be on the same time. We don't know where. They're going to be neutral venues. We'll know that tomorrow. So if you're listening on Tuesday.
Tomorrow, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, the CCCC should let us know tomorrow. Group four, we've got Kerry on 4 points, Loud on 3 points. Those two are guaranteed to go through. But the winner of that game, Kerry and Loud. Now, Kerry bet them well last year. So the winner of that game goes through. So we'll see. I'm going to ask you a little later on about how Kerry are cooking so far and whether you think that they're actually just holding back. And then Monaghan and Meath on a minus 25 score difference, but the winners of that will go through. So Monaghan having that brilliant draw against Loud, maybe turning their season around. They'll play Meath in 2 weeks' time, so that'll be a tight game as well. Group two, we've got Dublin and Mayo meeting each other in a neutral venue. We don't know where. I heard Kevin McStay saying yesterday that Mayo want Tullamore, hinting strongly that it might be Tullamore. Oh, yeah. I think there's a bit of talk about Breffni. There could be the Hyde down the road from McStay's home.
I don't have nobody but record there. Who's said that to me about the Hyde? That should be a good game. Tullamore would be very nice. Just the size of the ground, you could get a full house at that game, which would be
for sure.
Which would be class. So wherever that is, I would look forward to that one. Yeah,
and then Roscommon Cavan playing off
great
the winners of that game. Yeah, shootout for third place. Westmeath and Derry are then in a shootout. We haven't got to that result yet, but Westmeath and Derry are in a shootout for third spot, and it's Armagh Galway battling for top spot because Armagh bet Derry by 11 points yesterday in Celtic Park. Paddy, I want to talk about how good Armagh were before we get to Derry.
Yeah,
let's give credit.
I picked them up after the Ulster final. Our co-host, who's off-sunned himself, was trying to stick the knife into them again. I thought they were very good in the Ulster final, and unlucky, I think they've lost big games before, and I've had no sympathy whatsoever for them. But it was really impressive. Kind of under the radar that their win against Westmeath last week, you expect them to win, but that was their game after the Ulster final, and they kind of put that heartbreaking defeat to bed. But yesterday was a big game for both sides. Obviously, the context of the match, it was Armagh's first kind of really big challenge. You expected them to win at home to Westmeath, but for Derry, could they get back on the horse? And we said Donegal had been the story of the championship to date. I think Derry's just complete and utter implosion over the last month is now kind of is trending. That's top of the pops for everyone. It's incredible to see. But Armagh were, I mean, full value, absolute full value. They should have won by more. Their attacking style of play, I think Conor Turbin spoke about afterwards in Man of the Match. You were speaking to Reid O'Neill after for off the ball as well, T. And it was like, they both, we threw the shackles off. And Derry, the way they set up, and we'll talk about this, they allow you to throw the shackles off. You can't not throw the shackles off because they just let you, give you the whole half of the pitch to do it. So Armagh were really good. They've kind of, the Ulster final is a distant memory now. They've put that to bed. It's full steam ahead. And they have a massive opportunity. Like that, this is kind of the flaw with the groups. Like, they play Galway now.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a brilliant, and they obviously have history with Galway over the last couple of years, but that would be a brilliant knockout game. Both teams are going to go through. In terms of the All-Ireland, which both teams are kind of skirting around the edges of, the winner goes straight to the quarterfinal, which would be a massive plus. Galway, we've seen the negative injury update for Pádraig Joyce at his side, that Comber and Kelly are missed, obviously, the weekend, likely to miss the Armagh game. They can't get away from fucking injuries. But for Armagh, where they are now, a brilliant performance, and their big players really performing well. And that's, if they have that, there's lots of other teams where maybe their marquee players are not really at their peak yet. But Armagh, Turbot was exceptional, was one of the best games we've seen from Reid O'Neill. Again, he was kind of a forward at that space. But they had tactics, they absolutely nailed them, and they played aggressively. And when they do that, they have a really solid base defensively, but as they say themselves, when they throw the shackles off, they are a very, very good team.
Armagh scored 3-14 from play. They had 13 different scores. They have players popping up all over the field, delivering in big moments. One of my favourite scores was Tiernan Kelly's turnover on Declan Cassidy towards the end. He smashes him. It was like a shoulder hit. The ball spills out. Armagh break at pace. I think it was Oisin O'Neill who finished it off in the end, coming off the bench.
They've had a great bench, to be fair. But in three or four games.
Looking at the bench.
Yeah,
looking at the bench yesterday. And I asked Kieran McGeaney about it afterwards. How do you keep a squad happy? And you would have seen it yourself, you know, when you're...
Give me minutes, man. Put me in, coach.
Yeah, exactly. I think, I can't remember his answer. I think he said a sparkling personality. That's how he's been able to do it, his sparkling personality. So, do you know, like, there's a bit of something there. And obviously it's that wider belief within the group that they can actually go and do something despite all the doubts. Like, there's no other reason why so many experienced players would be happy beating the A team as the B team in training during the week, because the B team, according to Oisin O'Neill, haven't lost to the A team in a month.
Yeah, it's always a good sign, to be fair. I think in terms of a positive for the structures, that there's so many games that guys get minutes and they'll lead to. And if Armagh are going to go all the way, they could conceivably have 4 or 5 more matches left in the championship. So you need that squad depth. But to be fair, they've got impact off the bench. When Kieran McGeaney looks around and the games are in the melting pot, and most, with the exception of yesterday, because it was so straightforward, most of their games have been gone down to the wire, maybe the Ulster quarterfinal against Fermanagh aside, that you have to look for impact, and they are getting it off the bench. But the big plus for them is, you kind of questioned, they've had such heartbreaking defeats over the last 3 or 4 seasons. What impact would the latest defeat in that Ulster final against Donegal and penalties have? Would that blunt them in any way? Would it blunt the energy? And you looked at two teams there yesterday in Celtic Park. One was playing at an unbelievably high level of intensity, hunger, edge, impact off the bench. And on the other side, you have a team which is just on the floor, absolutely on the floor. So for Armagh, a brilliant win for them, a statement win for them. They go into that Galway game. I say there's nothing riding on it, that both teams are already through. They're going to progress. But top spot and being straight to the corners with a better draw. In terms of the All-Ireland, if you're genuinely going to go and win that thing, it's such a massive advantage, and that's what's on the line. Galway with their injury struggles, but they're still ticking along very nicely. Pádraig Joyce would be happy with their results down to Cusack Park. But for Armagh yesterday, style of play, they showed, and we've said it all along, that's why we were getting pissed off with them so much, that you have players that can kill teams. And when they went after it yesterday, it was beautiful to watch. Like I say, they were absolutely allowed to do so. which was just crazy to watch at times yesterday. But brilliant from Mirabelle.
I thought Ben Creeley in the middle third summed them up as well. And Niall Grimley, who was in for his first championship start in 2 years.
Massive midfield.
Yeah, Magini.
Ably assisted by Reid O'Neill.
Absolutely. But like they forced Lynch to go long at times, and it was a similar trend in the Mayo.
But they're happy enough to go long, Tommy. That's the thing.
Usually. Yeah. But I was tracking the kickouts yesterday during the game, and the five times that Lynch was forced to go long, Armagh won. Yeah. And the five times
wiped them.
Armagh went long and they only lost two. And the two of them were in the second half. That went long six times. They won four and lost two in the second half that were breaks. But like they ate them alive in that middle third, and it was huge. Mentioned the spread of scores, the fact that they went for broke, they went for goal. They had a couple of sloppy goal chances that they missed. But Rian O'Neill said he was never passing it when he was drawing goal after butchering the first one. So,
exactly. Passing it off to the cornerback to flap at the thing. Rian,
exactly.
Yourself, man. Pull the trigger.
Right. Let's turn to Derry, because I think everyone's scratching their head from the team that we watched in the Division 1 league final, putting it up to Dublin on March 31st, to the team that we saw at the weekend.
8 weeks ago.
And it wasn't the same as the Donegal game. There was different mistakes this time, but there was a sloppiness about their passing that didn't make sense. Like, this is a quality team with very good players, and their structure, their setup, everything just felt wrong, Paddy.
Yeah, it's like I say, 8 weeks ago, rightly so, they're being spoken about as All-Ireland contenders, deserving National League champions, going for three Ulster titles in a row, and all the boxes that we spoke about being ticked along the way, they were doing that. Really caught out against Donegal, obviously, and then 4 weeks off to kind of go away, lick their wounds and try and rectify this. I have spoken at length about being a big fan of what Derry do and the individual quality they have, the players they have, the style of play they had adopted, that they were far more aggressive. We'll talk about this, but they were playing on the front foot, they were backing themselves, they were brave in their play, and you felt this was the summer for these guys. If they're going to do it, there was the opportunity. And what has happened with them over the last basically 8 weeks since they won that National League final is incredible to watch. It's yesterday, like, it was unbelievable to see what was happening. It's the Derry play, if you watch a soccer cup final, you know, and the team is a goal down in the 93rd minute, they send the keeper up and you see a breakaway goal, like, and it's such an anomaly, it's crazy to watch. Derry play like that from the first minute on every single play. If they turn the ball over, you're in on goal. And I have spoken at length, Taffy, about this over results. This is our fourth season of the show. To win the biggest prize, you have to be aggressive, you have to be brave, you have to take risks, but not to the complete and utter detriment of any semblance of a defensive structure. And Derry do that on every single play. It is crazy to watch. The high behind footage of the goals, and not even the goals, the misses from Armagh. And it was clear, Armagh go long in the kickers, and you could see any time they won it, they weren't even looking. It was just swing the leg at it, get it up the pitch, because Derry are wide open. That's one thing, is structure. That is crazy risk to take. And the second thing, which was very evident against Donegal, less so against Galway, because obviously sending off kind of covered it up a bit, but absolutely yesterday, their energy and their attitude to get back, and that's not Mickey Hart or structure. That is just a team that is, whatever has gone on, energy-wise, they are just flat. The confidence just seems to be completely wiped out of them. And we said it, being the top team, or one of the top teams, there's a target on their back, and trying to deal with the being targeted, trying to deal tactically, physically, emotionally, which we've seen again, lots of glimpses yesterday of just losing the head, but also just resilience. If you're going to win the All-Ireland, it ain't easy. There's going to be periods in games or multiple games where you're under pressure and you need to pull in and just get through that period. And there you're just crumbling in that. Look at the energy in the second half. Poor old Conor McCluskey is running back and he's a 5-on-1. It just looks crazy. Well, how is that happening?
Not for just the turbo,
every single play that is
for the turbo goal. Rodgers, it's Rodgers who gives away the hand pass, but it's Rodgers the one who gets goal side between Turbot and Lynch. even though it's not enough, but he's the only Derry defender back there for the Turbo goal, and he's the man who gave it away in his 45. Can you just try and tell me what they're trying to do there?
They're trying to drag players up the pitch, create depth and structure, and then try and punch holes. Very similar to what Donegal had done in games against Tyrone, maybe in Ballymafay a couple of weeks ago.
Donegal got caught, like Ryan McHugh got caught, and Matty Taylor went up the field and buried that goal.
There are risks with it, but...
Why can't you leave a cover? Why can't you leave one player back?
I would say plus one. Always have one extra defender back. Whatever forward they have, you have one more. If you have Guardiola in soccer, however many they put in midfield, we'll have one more in there. Defensively, if they keep one up, you keep two back.
Yeah, because surely if you've got 11, so say a man on the ball, right? A goalkeeper, man on the ball, you've got 12 players say occupying space and attacking. Surely that's enough to create the chaos, the space, the movement they're needed.
They're banking on other teams just sitting back off them. That they'll bring 15 guys, like what Meade did yesterday, to Loud and the Leicester Wild Dublin. That teams will just sit back. Teams are pushing up on Derry now. So the man on the ball is under serious pressure. We've seen so many turnovers yesterday. Armagh are one of the very good teams at doing this anyway. But if you play Derry now, this is what I'm talking about. Their tactics have been analysed by everyone and weaknesses are identified. And they have not adapted. They have not been able to deal with those challenges. And we've seen the sloppy turnovers and the risk. Turnovers are always bad against the top teams. You try and avoid it at all. Mind the ball was like this mantra we had, particularly against Tyrone, we're dangerous, Donegal, obviously running teams. Every team does that now. If you turn the ball over at this level against the top team, you're under pressure and you're relying on your scramble defence to try and get you out of it. Derry don't have a scramble defence. They don't have anyone there. There's nobody there. Like one of the footage for, I think it's the second goal of the Sunday game yesterday, the high behind. Look at the reaction as well. McGuigan just dropped, head down, hands on his knees. He knows we're fucked. Chrissy McCaig is inside the 21. He doesn't even bother running back. It's just like, we're not getting there. And there's just that, I understand that it's a hard place to be. You're just like, they're just fed up with it. And that's the incredible thing to see. I can't wait for the end of this season to hear if Mickey Hart leaves or someone does a book or whatever, what is going on? What are these conversations that are happening? Is it the coaches, Hart and Devlin, these guys go, we're playing this way. This is the way. And the players are saying, yes, let's do this. Are the players saying, we've played that more solid defensive style under Rory Gallagher and Kieran Mina, got us to a point, we need to go further on. Is it both? Are they all invested in this? Or is there any sort of pushback? Because there has to be. We're talking about clear the air meetings. Derry must have had 3 or 4 these at this stage over the last month. The only silver lining for them, and I'm saying this to you early, Tommy, and it was hard to find a silver lining when they've been beaten by 11 points for your third championship defeat of the season, but the fact that it's so bad and it's so glaringly, obviously not working, they may actually just say, we can't do this anymore. And just change before they play Westmead in 2 weeks' time and at least bring back some sort of structure to the defence. Okay. And like I say, they have really good players still. Those players are not playing particularly well. And that strikes, there's something not right there in terms of the energy.
Can I make a point about that, right? Because Carroll Kane was covering the game yesterday for the Irish News and he's written a really good piece about in Derry's 3 championship games, they've conceded 942, 934 from open play. He's trying to make sense of it all like we are today.
Yeah.
But on the field yesterday, so Derry had a decent start to the second half. They scored 3 on the spin. Yeah. They turn them out over and have another attack. So it could have been 4 on the spin. Emma Bradley is whipped off after 42 minutes.
Yeah.
And when he's whipped off, Conor Glass stands with his hands out, looking at the sideline in disbelief. And Carr was writing about this in his piece. McFaul comes in. McFaul had obviously picked up an injury in the build-up to the game, so couldn't start. McFaul comes in, gets a yellow and then a black. He's sent off 16 minutes later. But that reaction, first of all, of a player going like, what's happening here?
Yeah, we spoke about this last week, yeah.
And then secondly, you know, afterwards, like I put it to Mickey Hart in the chat afterwards, is there a discipline problem here? That's 2 red cards in 2 games. And Mickey chose to look at the reaction, the attention McFaul got when he entered the field of play. Kieran McFaul has been getting that attention in most games. And I think he's probably seen as a player that may potentially react. So opposition teams look like they're targeting him. That game yesterday, Paddy, like a lot of championship games, there was a lot going on off the ball in loads of different areas. I know Conor Macken's boot hitting Conor Glass's head, there's a slow-mo version of that going around. That was missed by the officials at the time. That happened early in the game. Rian O'Neill and one of the Derry players, I think it was Rogers, both got booked about 8 minutes in for wrestling at one stage. There was loads of this stuff going on. I was surprised that Hart took that approach when defending Kieran McFaul, because surely that's something that's par for the course in any physical sport.
Par for the course. Players, forwards particular, get attention. That is always the way. I said this at length about last week, dealing with that. Staying in control, emotional control. Keep your head. There's going to be times you're under pressure individually or as a team. The opposition are trying to make you lose your focus. Teams used to laugh us out the fucking gate, Tommy. Roll their eyes when we would say, stick to the process. Stay in control. It is true. It's genuine. I'm not bullshitting you. We worked relentlessly on this because it's not natural. If you're Kieran McFaul and it's just a normal, you're walking down the street and someone is giving you lip and someone's barging into you, you will react. Like, that's a rational response to that. At elite level sport, Gaelic football at this level, you need to be able to deal with it. This is not some revelation that we've seen for the first time. Every single championship game this happens, and you need to be able to deal with it. And Derry, and McFaul is the example yesterday, there were numerous other examples, are not dealing with this at all. Are you telling me those players weren't getting shit when they were playing for Glen to win the All-Ireland or through the National League? I've seen Derry 3 times live in the National League. There was lots of that stuff going on, but they weren't reacting like they are now. The frustration has set in. Teams, and you know what? I tell you, every single game, how many games they've left in this championship, teams are going to focus on it even more because they are getting a reaction. And Derry are not dealing with it. And Mickey Hart knows this. Jesus Christ. He's one of the best coaches in the history of Gaelic football. He's managed teams, unbelievably successful teams. His teams have been very good at doing this themselves. This, for him to come out, that's clutching at straws. Say, did you see the attention Kieran McFaul got? Of course he fucking did. That's normal. But these reactions, it's just another symptom of a team that is just not in sync. They are not focused. They are not in control of their emotions at any stage since that league final. And I'm waiting on them. We speak every week. We're talking about them. We go, there you're going to come. Because I believe they're unbelievable players.
They have the quality, yeah.
But they are just... Tactics is one thing. Their mentality is the other thing. And you have to say at this point, that performance yesterday, I think it's gone for them. I do. I think they'll beat Westmead. You don't know. There's no guarantees at this stage. It depends how bad it is in the camp. And nobody's going to know that. I can't wait to hear at the end of the season what has happened here. But in terms of, they just look so far gone, it's very difficult to see them wrestling it back to. Yeah, I was surprised at how bad it was yesterday. Yeah.
If they do manage to turn it around this season, it'll still make a great book because it'll be one of the great stories. You know, like three championship defeats. And
the manner of them as well, Tommy.
It's the manner of them.
I have to say, the Galway game for the first quarter, I thought they were moving well. I liked what I was seeing again from them. The McKinless thing does skew it, and then the game was gone for them. They probably did all right to keep it to that point. I thought, okay, there's positives there.
They started well against yesterday, but the second that kick out went long and Grimley broke it to Connerty and he rattled the underside of the bar. It would have been gorgeous. But that the game changed after that. Yeah. The feeling around the place. It was like, it's happening.
They know they're vulnerable. They know they're completely vulnerable. That's what I'm like. The fact that it's so bad, Tommy, do they sit down and say, right, scrap that? It depends how stubborn Mickey Hart or the players are. We don't know the dynamics there. But the fact that it's so bad and so obvious, do they go back to maybe their style 18 months ago just to steady the ship for a couple of games and maybe get them into an All-Ireland quarter-final? Because the reality, if they play, say they beat Westmead, someone draws them in a preliminary quarter-final, still not a team you want to play. If they play like they did yesterday with that style and the kind of, I hate saying this, but attitude of the players, of course, everyone's got a fancy playing them. But like I say, just 8 weeks ago, they were showing how good a team they are and how good their individual players are. And we just haven't seen any. The whole thing has just fallen off a cliff. It's incredible. It is unbelievable. Yeah.
It's remarkable. Okay. After the game, I caught up with Oisin and Rian O'Neill. I actually dropped Oisin a message before the game. One of their club mates, Caelan Finnegan, yes, is going through the battle of his life at the minute. Very Check sad. Out Care for Caelan if you can. They need to raise a lot of money to help him. It's a health battle that he's going through. He got an awful diagnosis at the age of 20 last August, and the community in Cross McGlen are doing everything they can to raise money in the community around the country. It was the Derry supporters yesterday that helped organise a fundraiser for him, and I've seen clubs and counties all around the place do it. So if you can check it out, share it, support it in any way, do. I asked Rain and Oisin to have a chat about it after the game. Here's what they had to say. A teammate of yours, a clubmate of yours in Cross McGlen, Caelan Finnegan, is going through an awful tough time at the minute. Oisin, you might just talk to us about what Care for Caelan is. A GoFundMe page has been set up to try and help him.
Yeah, Caelan's a teammate of ours, he's 20 or 21 years of age, and he's, look, to be honest, he's got the battle of his life going on at the minute, you know. He's a super young fella with a tremendous family who are steeped in Cross McGlen, and his brothers, you know, would have played, and his mother and father are big Cross McGlen people, you know. And unfortunately at the minute, like, he needs treatment for the battle he's in Germany, and you know, the community in Cross McGlen and Armagh have been unbelievable so far, and we've raised so much money that he's been able to get his first bout of treatment. He actually came back into the country over the weekend, but you know, he needs more, and we probably need this campaign to go a wee bit wider to the rest of Ireland and further afield. So the GoFundMe page is Care for Caelan, and if anyone is in a position to donate, well, however little it is, we'd really, really appreciate it.
Rian, a young man like that that's so close to you, and I know you mentioned that Kieran McGeaney had mentioned him before the game as well, like, that must just put things into perspective. Like, we're talking about penalty shootouts here and how close you've come over the years, but like, this is real life.
Yeah, listen, absolutely. I know I was saying there before we got cut off, I had to call up to his house regular to see him, you know, and you go up there and you only think you for you, you know what I mean? And you go up there and that man's always smiling, always the centre of crack. His brothers are there, they're always the centre of crack. And you leave that house and you realise you've actually very little problems going on in the world, you know. And that man's going to keep fighting to the bitter end. I know he is. And I've played football with him, and he was always there fighting for you. And everyone around Cross McGlen, Armagh, Ireland, wherever, we'll keep fighting for him to the bitter end, and we'll never give up.
There you go. There's Rian and Oisin O'Neill, and it's Care for Caelan. We'll share the GoFundMe on our pages on the Football Pod as well. This is the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews. No James O'Donoghue this Monday. We let him off. He's enjoying the wedding of one of his good friends over in Dubrovnik. So we will get him back in our members pod. The pod is brought to you every week with thanks to AIB, prime sponsors of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. We have big news coming this week. I said that last week. I thought I'd have the tickets out for Croke Park, but they will happen this week. They will happen this week. We've got it. So stay tuned for that. Last year, they sold out in 12 hours. So if you want to go, get a hold of them. So
it's a Thursday night, Tommy. All our final week.
Yeah. AIB have sorted Croke Park for us again. So we'll be there.
Gotta be in it.
Yeah, can't wait for it. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after this, talking a bit more football. OTB GAA. All right, you're very welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews. James will be back with us on our members pod a little later this week. He's away on his holidays. Paddy, we also had round three of the Tatchin Cup this weekend. So all 32 counties were in action. New York have a bye to the preliminary quarterfinals. So Waterford, who actually won two championship games this year, unfortunately don't make it through. They bet Longford at the weekend, 4-12 to 1-16, but they had the fourth best record as the third place team, so they don't make it to the Premier League quarterfinals. Kildare bet Leitrim by 1-16 to 12 points, also in that group, in group one. So it's Kildare on 6 points, they're straight through to a quarterfinal. Leitrim finished in second. They will play Wicklow in their Premier League quarterfinal this weekend. Wicklow finished third in group three. Fermanagh and Laois played out a thriller in Pearse Park. Fermanagh won that one, 3-11 to 2-13. Laois missed the late chance late on. They possibly could have worked a goal that would have sent them through on top, but they lost that one. So it's Fermanagh in first place, straight through to the quarterfinals. Laois in second, Wicklow in third. So Fermanagh straight through to the quarterfinals. Carlow finished bottom of that group at 1 point. In group two, Sligo topped the group. A 20 points apiece draw with Antrim.
Classic.
But they had a better a better scoring difference. So they topped the group. Antrim in second. Tipperary, a late dramatic goal, somehow getting over the line against Wexford, 3-5 to 12 points. They're into the Premier League quarterfinals as well. So there's that. They're the tables from GAA League Tables, who are a great resource on Twitter every week. And just to give you the fixtures this weekend, we've got Leitrim Wicklow, Glenn & Brothers Pierce Park, 7 o'clock, live in GAA Go on Saturday. Limerick Tipperary's in Rakeel at 4 o'clock. On Sunday, we've got Antrim London in Corrigan Park and Laois New York in Amora Park at 12:30 on GAA Go. So it's also the provincial final weekend in the hurling. So it's the Leinster final on Saturday. The Dubs are there, Paddy. And on Sunday, we've got Limerick Clare and Semple Stadium. So I'll be covering that with Tommy Walsh. I'm looking forward to that one.
You were at it.
So that'll be good. You were at Kerry Mead as well. I don't want to linger too much on Mead here, but I want to know about you're also at Dublin Cavan. So I want to know.
Tough weekend, Tommy. Tough weekend.
Where are both of these teams? So where are Kerry at the minute? Because Breenor Bioglik shot the lights out. Tom Sullivan in the first half. David Clifford gets his goals. I think they're Kerry's first goals at the championship.
First goal to championship, yeah.
So give us your view on where Kerry are at right now.
I didn't think Kerry were great yesterday at all. I thought it was an absolutely diabolical match. Really was. I can't overstate that enough. but that's made, obviously, the four changes before the game. They set up quite defensively. Conceded Shane Ryan's kick out and just got 15 bodies back into their own half, or into their own 45. And I have to say, and this was kind of a conversation with a couple of fans, I didn't think Colmore could have done a whole pile else with that. The gap is, I know Mead are in Division 2 and Kerry Division 1 team, but the gap is huge between these teams. And Mead could have won like the bravery awards by going, we played 15 on 15 and they'd have lost that match by 50 points. You know, so in terms of the style of play, it was contained, but they did frustrate Kerry. There was Kerry were playing into a breeze in the first half as well, so it was difficult for them to break it down. You mentioned, like, Obiugli scores, I think, 3 points from play. Tom Sullivan, again, with a couple of points. Tony Brosnan was good, again. They were all good because they were all playing out the pitch where the space was.
Yes.
So they had unopposed possessions. They're all good on the ball. So they were the standout guys. It was a very difficult day for David Clifford inside, Paddy Clifford, Sean O'Shea, Paul Geady, all the kind of marquee guys were playing inside, and the 15 guys in front. So it's difficult to find space. It was never a day for them.
Was there a man marker on David Clifford, or were they just...
Yeah, Keoghan was on Clifford. You know how highly we rate Keoghan, and he did a really good job yesterday. Clifford, again, was... I know he gets the two goals. He's probably a little bit off himself as well, so... Like Kerry had 12 wides yesterday. They were lethargic enough in their play. Jack O'Connor spoke to us after the game, kind of saying maybe there was a bit of a complacency, kind of said that they knew they were going to win the game. And to be honest, I can understand Kerry's position yesterday, because there was no way they were going to lose that match. Under no circumstance whatsoever could they have lost that game to Mead. And it kind of showed in how they played, which wasn't great at all. But if playing the games like that as well, Tommy, when the gap was so big, Mead were kind of set up defensively. When they had the ball, Mead were I was surprised at how poor they were on the ball, I have to say. I thought technically they 12 wides themselves. There were
shot selection wasn't good in the first half.
Yeah, shot selection. That's one of them. I thought their handling, their kick passing game, the skill gap was massive. I'm surprised, whatever about kind of experience and the physicality or aerobic capacity that Kerry would have in terms of years built up to that need to, thought that the skills was...
And should the skill gap... Now, the physicality is one thing, and that's very hard, and that's nothing but hard yards. Can the skill gap be closed a little quicker?
Depends what these players are doing with their individual time. It depends what they have been doing for years. You know, you would assume... If you're playing senior inter-county football, you're pretty competent technically. I didn't see the whole point of that from me yesterday. That was probably the surprising thing. Look, I don't want to go out and beat down on Mead. They're out of their depth playing Kerry, and maybe lots of teams around the country will be in that bracket as well, playing against a team like Kerry. But it was a tough day for them. Colm O'Rourke, like I said, he spoke afterwards, you know, resigned. What could he say, really? You know, it's a long, long process for the Royals to get back. They have a little bit of underage success Can we get 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 of those guys to come through? Can they continue that conveyor belt and get other teams winning Leinster under 17s and Leinster under 20s and competing at an All-Ireland stage? But that takes loads and loads of time. And it hadn't been happening for years indeed anyway. So the fact that that's kind of stage one, and the challenge for Colm O'Rourke or whoever it may be, or for me, GAA, is we want success. People watch sport, they want success yesterday. They don't want to wait. And that kind of patience, it's tough. Tough from yesterday was stark. They're not going anywhere in a hurry. The way they frame it is they have an opportunity at least to get into the knockout stages if they can take out Monaghan. Showed a bit of life yesterday themselves, so that even that's looking like a big ask. But if you sat down with me at the start of the year and said, what's success? Stay in Division 2, consolidate that, and get a win in the championship, get into the knockout stages. And that's still potentially on the table.
It's there,
but it was poured off from them. But for Kerry...
Is there an element here, Paddy, of Kerry holding back and timing the run?
I'd say they would have liked to have played better. You know, Jack O'Connor was sitting in front of us in the stand with Dermot Murphy.
Like, they're going to be true.
Pissed off a few times,
you'd expect them now to be true to a quarter final that they will take care of Loud.
Yeah, I would. They're not playing over the but they haven't needed to, tell me.
Yeah.
Just like that kind of recency bias again. This was the exact same with them last season. Munster Championship is complete farcical for them. Same as the Leinster one for Dublin. They don't need to be at these levels. You know, it was another Division 2 team they were playing yesterday. I have sympathy for players who've played in games like this where you know you're going to win. The opposition is so far below you. Your game really gets dragged down to that level. You can see Kerry didn't score for the first 13 minutes of the second half yesterday. So sloppy on the ball, which is something you never really assume with them. Kick passing balls over the sideline, bad wides, even Clifford, you know, showed he's human at this. So there's just a sense, I said this afterwards, if you're Jack O'Connor and Kerry, I would just park that game. There's nothing to be taken from that. Focus on Loud, it'll be a much greater step up and then move into the knockout stages. Kerry weren't great last year at this stage either, and they got to the All-Ireland quarterfinals and they put on an absolute show against
Tyrone.
Annihilate them. So they weren't good yesterday. It was a terrible match. Their basic skills, which is so shocking when you see Kerry being poor at the fundamentals, but I think it's just an aberration yesterday. They haven't been great in the championship, but they haven't needed to be. They'll move up through the gears. They'll get better.
Okay, hopefully next time you're in Navan, it's a better game.
I did enjoy it, I have to say.
On the flip side, last year's reigning All-Ireland champions have posted 319, 322, 119 in the Leinster final, 219 against Roscommon, and 517 yesterday against Cavan. Paddy Small, Darren Newcomb, Kenny McGuinness were all drafted in late to start this game for the Dubs. Theo Clancy, Jack McCaffrey, Greg McEnany, Conor Baskeller and Orkin Adele come off the bench. How are Dublin cooking at the minute? Is it the fact that they just haven't been challenged, or are they in a really, really, really good place?
No, they're getting better. They're getting better. Saturday night was good. Again, first quarter wasn't great. Again, they haven't put together a 70-minute performance, but exactly what we said about Kerry, they haven't needed to. They haven't in any stage needed to. I thought the one area I'd look at and hope they will improve, and I'm sure they will, that first half against Roscommon the previous week, they were... It's not to the extent of Derry, but Dublin are really attacking. They play on the front foot. They'll give teams opportunities. There will be space against Dublin because they push up so high. You see the joy to get out of it. Put out Lee Brady and goal, didn't know where to look on his kickouts, and Dublin just dismantled that. But that's because they've loaded bodies up the pitch. But it does leave them susceptible to really quick transitions. And to be fair, that first quarter, Cavan without Paddy Lynch weren't able to capitalise on it, but they got
Pushing Brady was lively because Merchant some bother, did he?
Yeah, okay, but it was a clear tactic in that first quarter from Cavan. We were pitch side, you could hear them roaring in. If they got the ball, launch the ball inside because there's space there. Yeah. And they got themselves into good positions. They had a couple of bad wides, but better teams, which Dublin will face starting in 2 weeks' time against Mayo, will be able to capitalise on that. There seems like a little bit too much space in front of that Dublin full back line if the ball is transitioned really quick. They'll notice, they probably will tweak this, maybe if they're playing the likes of a Kerry or Derry, or maybe even against Mayo in a couple of weeks' time, because they have Ryan O'Donoghue, Kelly O'Connor, Tommy Conroy and these guys. But that's an area where they've probably been a little bit sloppy. But outside of that, their attack, I thought, was really good against Roscommon. I thought it was really good the other night as well. And the biggest plus for Desi Farrell and those guys is that depth of players. He didn't start Colin Pascal the other night, comes on and scores 3 points from play. There was a real sense of Pascal being
makes a goal.
This. Costello was really good when he got going at centre forward. He's playing a slightly different role. Paddy Small is injury-free and playing. Paddy Small and Bugler are two guys who've got in and out of the team because they've had knocks and niggles. They both seem in great shape and moving really well. And can you mention them?
What's he bring to the table? What's he bring to the table in McGuinness?
He's slightly different. He's a big guy for a forward, playing in that half forward line, but he's a confidence about him. Like, he's a young player, but this guy, like, he takes shots on. You know, he's not one of these guys. Younger players, particularly in an established team like Dublin, can come in and be like very deferential. I'm just going to keep popping the ball over to you. You can see there's a confidence in his play, and he gives them something different in that half forward line. He basically, he's the same height as Fenton. You know? He's an option around the middle.
Big man.
And in terms of a breakout season for him, I've been impressed with him any time I've seen him through the National League. Will he, realistically, or the likes of maybe Greg McEnany or these guys, they're very young and they're getting exposure in a nice environment because Dublin are dominant in these games. Will they play, you know, maybe against Mayo or all in the quarterfinals and semis? We don't know, but they're giving themselves every opportunity. And that was a big thing that Desi Farrell had to do. We spoke for the last couple of years about this, Dublin bringing in depth into their squad. One, for live options and championship matches, but two, to put pressure on these more established guys. And we've seen it this year. I thought Niall Scully was exceptional the other night as well. He was taken out of the team last year. Kilkenny as well. You know, and they were being taken out of the team because other guys were putting them under pressure. And that's the beauty of having squad depth.
That
forces the players to up their games, and we've seen that. So it was positive for Dublin. They're moving in the right direction. They still haven't got anywhere near a 70-minute performance, but similar to Kerry, they haven't needed to.
They haven't needed to, yeah. And that game against Mayo in 2 weeks' time might give us a better idea of where they're both at. The Mayo thing, we're not going to linger too long in this game. We'll be talking a lot about Mayo in the build-up to the Dublin game, but one of the things, there's two things, right? So we mentioned the kick-out. So they forced Roscommon to go long. Mayo won half of them in the first half. They got 5 points from that overall off the long kick-out. The other thing was Tommy Conroy comes into the attack in the second half when the game has changed. And he, in my opinion, transformed the attack. He brought an energy, a pace, took the focus off Ryan O'Donoghue.
All right.
I just think it changed it. I thought Conroy...
Well, he offers something very different to...
The dynamic. Can he do that from the start, Paddy? Like...
Well, he has been started.
But we're not seeing it. We're not seeing it being produced. Like, is it now that Tommy Conroy for the rest of the championship is going to be in that role? Because I don't think Mayo can afford that.
This is the million-dollar question for McStay. I'm not sure he knows himself. I don't think he'd probably be any wiser after Saturday. He went with the kind of the story beforehand was he went with Killian O'Connor and Aidan O'Shea and took Tommy Conroy out.
And it wasn't injury. Like, I asked him afterwards, and he said he was very close to starting. So clearly it was a case that the game would open up a little bit.
Killian O'Connor scored 4 points for play against Cavan in what was his first start. And I think McStay was kind of alluding to before the match he spoke to us that Killian O'Connor might have had injuries or knocks, but he was coming on in all the games. So that kind of, I don't know if he really bought that, but Killian went out, played against Cavan, played really well. I'd always play him in Mayo's forward line because of his quality. Now, he probably wasn't great on Saturday, so that's, I'd say, McStay and definitely Killian O'Connor would have loved to have gone out and he scored 5 or 6 points. And then
he still looks a touch. Like, movement is so important. Like, in terms of his leadership, his ability to cover the ground. His
quality on the ball, you see the score he gets second half. Mayo don't have a lot of guys that can do that. I would have loved to have seen, and we've said this for the last 2 or 3 seasons.
12.
Ryan O'Donoghue, Killian O'Connor, Tommy Conroy. But for injuries and whatever, obviously bad injuries for Killian and for Tommy Conroy, we haven't really seen that. But the question mark for Mayo, and particularly against a team like Dublin, is can they afford not to play Tommy Conroy and just have Killian O'Connor and Aidan O'Shea in there, where the reality is they don't have legs. You know, there's an absence of pace without Tommy Conroy in there. I would play Tommy Conroy as well, because I do agree with you. His agility is, he'd be an absolute fucking nightmare to mark. So I'd have him in there, but I'd also play Killian O'Connor to supplement Ryan O'Donoghue, because he's a quality scorer. And that's the decisions McStay has to make. He doesn't seem to want to play all of them together, or doesn't feel there's a system where I can fit these guys in together. That's got to be up to him to figure out. And I'd say, I don't know, is he any wiser after the weekend? Because nobody really grabbed it and said, yeah, you can't not play me. So that's it. But I thought McStay was quite bullish beforehand and afterwards, that the season was kind of starting here for them. They got the job done. They were really good around the middle. I thought it was one of Manny Rowan's really better games I've seen from them in the last kind of 18 months or so. But they're true. They know everything goes up for them there. Play Dublin. Yeah. On the line to potentially get to an All-Ireland quarter final, there'll be an edge and a buzz around that game because it's Dublin Mayo and everything that goes with it. But it's kind of job done, but there's still a lot of question marks in that attack, I feel.
Yeah, for sure. We'll see what happens in that Dublin game. I actually forgot to mention Group 4 of the Tailteann Cup. Down topped it. They bet Offaly, a very high scoring game. Offaly finished bottom of that Tailteann Cup group. They're out. London on two
That's
points.
That's a surprise, isn't it, T?
And Limerick.
A lot of hurlers, savage scenes for their 20 hurlers.
Wow. That was amazing. Yeah. It was amazing,
but
wasn't it?
For footballers, Becky Kelly, that's disappointing. I kind of expected more of them, like I say. They showed glimpses of quality in that Leinster semi-final, but obviously they were well beat. But you thought, okay, can they? That's the type of team with the age profile that the Tailteann Cup and a run of that would be really beneficial to, but it just, geez, it obviously started with that bad defeat to London the first day. It just seemed like they were never really in that at all. So
never got it back.
Bit of a setback, yeah.
Yeah. So, Paddy, I think we'll leave it at that. Thanks very much for joining me on this Bank Holiday Monday. Clocked up the miles at the weekend. Will you take a little bit of a rest for yourself, will you?
Later, man. I'm running on empty. I'm nothing this weekend.
The little trip to Leitrim, that looked nice.
I did.
A few people said it to me. They were like, Anders is in the woods in Leitrim. It looked lovely. A few people saw the Insta.
It was there. Like you say, Tommy, I needed it. So we went over with the rain and the little lad. We
lovely.
A couple of days in Leitrim. It was beautiful. Yeah. Hiding in the woods, a couple of days.
Class. It's needed. Mind yourself, Paddy. Thanks for joining me today.
Come on.
We'll catch up later in the week. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And keep your eyes peeled for our tickets for our roadshow in Croke Park later this week. See you, Pete.
Good night, lads. Come to Toby.